What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, episode 105, Do's and Don'ts of the Concussion Management Protocol. We are at the 13th Annual Sports Medicine Update by Memorial Hermann, and this is an athletic trainer, Mike Vara. He is an employee of Memorial Hermann. He's going to be talking about how we should and should not be handling the Concussion Management Return to Play Protocol and everything there dealing with Senate Bill 82. So if you are not familiar with Senate Bill 82, you're probably not from Texas. And so, take it for what it is. If you're not from Texas and you want to skip this, knock your lights out. If you want to listen and see how we deal with things, or just Mike Vara's opinion on things, then please feel free. Again, at the sportsmedicinebroadcast.com, you can find the links. And starting in September, we are doing the live webinars, although this will be posted much later. You can still check out the webinars where you can earn CEUs if you're part of the live event, usually starting at 11 Central Standard Time. So if you're looking to earn some CEUs, and currently they're free, so all you have to do is sit in your office, have it playing, join in the conversation if you like, and hear from experts like Dr. Josh Allen, Mark Knobloch, or recently we've had Mike Hopper, Brett McQueen, as young professionals. So you can listen to any of those guys, earn some CEUs while you're at work, again, at sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. But enough of that, and it's time to see what Mike Vara has to say about the do's and don'ts, the Concussion Management Return to Play Protocol.
Folks, I'm sorry I was late. One of our doctors talking had to go find her. She was stuck in traffic, so I apologize. This is like a gentleman's club, cheap seats, and I can't see you. It's all pretty good. We will get out here at 9:30. We have a break after my talk. I was supposed to talk the last one today, and then close remarks, and then send all five of you out of here. But so there's so many of you here. I'm just really excited to be here today. Lots of things I can say. Thank you for being here. I feel like Joel Osteen with the stain on here, so if we pass the collection plate, you'll have to forgive me. We have a staff meeting every 2 weeks, and Bob was sitting down on the table. Of course, Bob's been in charge of this since it started. And I just happened to mention to some of the people I work with, and I said, the places that I run to, when I walk in there and I talk to the coaches, a lot of places I go to don't have an athletic trainer. And they were asking about what do we do about concussion, this and that, what's a concussion, and what do we do? And the concerns I had, I mentioned out loud. I just said, I'm worried about how people are managing concussions. And Bob says, that's going to be your talk line. So here we are. The do's and don'ts, this is not a concussion training session. So you can't get your 2 hours here, so don't you think you're going to do it. The Texas Senate did such a great job on steroid testing that now they've moved to concussions. And I'm not going to make fun of anybody on the Medical Advisory Committee. I know Charlie's got a friend on there, Charlie Stevens. You think about what we've done for years, and nothing's changed. The way that you interact with an athlete that you suspect is concussed, nothing has changed. I mean, everything that we've done for years is the same, except now that the great people in Austin have put papers to it. They've made it law. Here we are. And again, I don't know how you feel about it personally. I mean, you may figure out how I feel about it through the course of this presentation, but it's like somebody telling you how to drive or to wear a seatbelt. I mean, you're thinking, all right, I know that already. So why are we doing this? So when I made this, it's not in a very serious light, but I think there's some things that we need to be aware of as we sit and go through this. Obviously, the disclaimer here, I don't make any money from UIL. I do love the UIL. Seriously, UIL. But I also love a stick in the eye. The problems I have with the UIL are very simple. Since I've been an athletic trainer, you do this and you do that to try to be in compliance with this law, be it your district policy or state law or whatever it is. So this is just something else that we do. Now I realize there's some folks in the audience here that are several years older than I am, and
just are barely hanging on to that credit card license and things like that. So some of this stuff isn't really involved, but you know, when you think of what the majority of us, so we're still actively working and we're still somewhat important in this group. The UIL, what they say, we've got to go. We have no more option. I realize that some folks are involved with private schools and charter schools. I understand, but you're also on the radar too, so you can get away with it. Again, I'm not here to teach you anything about concussions. I mean, it's not a kick in the head. Yeah. Anyway, but I do want you to be aware that it never hurts for us to look at a few things and try to see that what we want to do with our things here. Nice picture. When I was looking for things to put in this thing, I didn't want to get any videos and nothing in it doesn't work, and then So all we want to do is I want to look at some things since this program started. I do believe that concussion I do believe it. But the things that we have, so when you walk into the coach's office and they're sitting there and you say, okay, well, coach, how is so-and-so? Well, we think he's okay. Now that's, the alarm starts to go off, so you're concerned. I'm not sure when you walk into your coach's office, are they walking in your office and asking, how is so-and-so? Do you think, well, this is what we think, this is what's happened, and now you got to say, okay, well, according to UIL, and that's correct. You know, as an athletic trainer, you know what you're doing, so we don't need to worry too much about what they're doing. But like Dalton, he's felony, he gets 10 to life, so that's pretty cool. All right, who really understands what HB 2038 is and what it became law? You know, that's the thing about it. When we first heard of this thing that it was coming down the pipe, that they're going to say, okay, we want you guys to be able to officially manage concussion. Was it directed at us? Do you think it was directed at us? Anybody? I don't think it was. I think the whole sole purpose of this is to kind of make sure that everybody's on the same page. Not necessarily athletic trainers. I mean, there's some possibly that they wanted to bring in line, but I think those were geared for a larger audience. The law was created to protect middle and high school athletes from laxity regarding assessment and treatment of concussions. Anybody know who this young lady is right here?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the perk. It's weird. I could be wrong. It says Texas State on her shirt. I went to Southwest Texas State. I don't know where Texas State is, but she was a soccer player. When I did research on her, I felt bad because I thought something terrible had happened to her. You know, like they name a bridge after you die or something. So, but there she is. So that is one of the tricky questions at the end. And what I did, I planned for this speech presentation to be given the last, you know, so there would have been five of you here. So I was going to give out five gifts because one of the trivia answers would have been, what was your last name? But there's too many of you here, so we're just going to skip. So, okay, athletic trainers, you guys got to know Lon. I know you do. I brought it with me here. I've even read it a couple of times. And those of you that have had dealings with the state, anything that you've seen, and they got all these numbers and stuff on here, it's all pretty kind of cute. But if you've read the law, does it state in there what the consequences are if you don't follow the confession? Anybody know? No, there are no penalties. It isn't like they're going to smack your hand or, you know, they're going to suspend your head coach or anything like that. So I'm sure that's coming, but make sure you do know the law. I don't think you need to carry on in your pocket or a flashlight, but I think it's a good idea for what you know. These folks should also know, and you realize that these are the folks you deal with. These are the folks that you interact with. You know, you talk about a coach, parent, administrators, and physicians, or other licensed healthcare professionals. These are the folks that need to be aware of the laws. Because when you talk to each other about it, the last thing you want is that deer in the look. There's a deer in the headlight look that you get from friends that talk about, like, you know, like, oh, crap, here we go. So there you go. All right, the second issue I have is what to do with a possible concussed athlete. Again, we know, or we should know, what we're doing. Nothing has changed in what we do. You know, you listen to a kid say, hey, so-and-so, go check that kid. Or you see him walking to you, or they're sitting on the field, or the court. You know what goes on. You know what's happening with a concussion. In the picture on the right, I don't think you're ever going to carry your kid off the field, but you talk about the little baby ones. You know, we've had some incidents within our Memorial Hermann group about younger kids who are concussed, and they're playing this little league football or youth football, I'm sorry, and their daddy's a coach, and their daddy thinks his kid needs to play, so daddy's not going to hold him out. And we know better. We're thinking, you know, that's probably not the way to do it. So no matter how much you cry or you bitch about it, not everybody's on board with this. So obviously, you know, we're preaching in the choir here today, but you guys understand, I think with the NFL going through their problem, you know, with their older players and now the lawsuit, and then they gave all that money and they're doing, you know, traumatic brain injury studies and all these kind of things. You know, it's got to start somewhere, so we start with the little ones. And I think that's the best way to go. So there you go. We'll address that. According to the law, you can see what it says there. Removed, and you know that. They need to be removed if you suspect anyone is concussed. These are the folks that can do it. The student's parent, guardian, another person of legal authority. I remember when I first started, they used to have something called phones. Pick a phone and actually dial, and then they moved it up to a button. I know some of you don't, it was called, I think you call it a landline. I think that's what the young folk call it now. But I would get that phone and I would tell the kid, okay, who am I talking to? Am I talking mom, dad, stepdad, living? Who am I talking to on that phone? And you look at who has the authority to pull a kid out that you suspect is concussed. In your opinion, who tends to do that the most? Who's going to pull somebody out who's concussed? You, right? Yeah, I would think yes. I know you're, don't be shy. I can't see you, but yes, it should be you. Traditionally, it's you. Do you think a coach will put a kid out? Yes, I think they will. I run into some little 2A schools, and those people care about their kids as much as you do. Not all of them, but a great majority of them do. So, what do you do with a possibly concussed athlete? We know what you do. We pull them out, we're going to check them. We know all that. But if you're at an event, maybe, I don't know why you do it, an athletic event if you're not working. But you're there, and you're standing, and you see somebody get sustained a head injury, and you're thinking, you stand there, you're thinking, are they going to do the protocol? Are they going to check them? I love college football. I can watch college football forever. I have government TV. I do not have cable. I have government TV, so like on channel 51, I can see Cambodian horse jockeys. You know, so here you shouldn't have to come by the house. But I love college football. When you see those guys hit and they get up, and then you see the athlete turn around out there, and they, you know, they got the Gatorade towel and the little earpiece, and they look really cute and matching gear, you know, and you know they're not holding their pants because everything fits. And they're evaluating these kids, and they want to go to a commercial. And you're thinking, oh damn it, let's see what they're doing. And they're thinking, well, let's go. You know, we're going to go sell tampons or something. I'm sorry. I mean, it's a, wow, I can't believe I said that. Cleveland Browns, do you know where you are? Somewhere rust belting. And you know, unfortunately, when I pulled that one off, there was a little story that went with that particular quote. They were talking about, you know, the liability of the NFL and their big, I won't say scandal, that's too harsh a word, but you know what they do with their concussions. Now everybody's so proactive. Sorry, I said proactive too. But anyway, there you are. Again, not here to teach you much, and I'm trying to keep this on time. Okay, you suspect a concussion, you hold him out, the third issue that I see out is now what? And that's, I'll walk in the office and say, hey, what are we doing now? I'm like, all right, story time, kids. 2 years ago, I'm a member of the Texas High School Coach Association, and 2 years ago they did their first concussion training at coaching school. It was in San Antonio. So I stand in line and we work our way into this room that probably had, I don't know, 800 people in there, 800 coaches. And we're all sitting down, everybody's all excited. I'm sorry, I forget who started talking. And right away, everybody gets on the phone, kind of like what you're doing now, screaming
with your shirt.
And, you know, they're texting their ex-wife and, you know, the people that stalk them and things like that. And I'm looking around the room, there's people asleep, they're reading newspaper, they're scratching, they're not thinking, well, is this a great venue to have this type of thing? Well, I'm sitting, I'm paying attention because I want to know what they're going to say. And in the national ceremonies, wherever he is, some doctor, someone says, you know, if we do this thing right, we get out of here in an hour and 20 minutes. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm not real good with math, but if you're supposed to get a 2 hour training session, how do you do it in an hour and 20 minutes? So I'm looking around the room and I'm thinking, okay, don't get excited, don't get pissed off, you know. But I'm thinking, how many of these people, how many of these folks in this room will actually look at a kid and say, okay, now what? I think he's got a concussion now. Well, an hour and 20 minutes later, it was answered, so there you are. Student removed, may not be permitted, you know all that, you know that. Successfully completed return to play protocol. Treating physician has provided a written statement to say for student to return. We know that. As I looked around that room in coaching school, I'm thinking, how many of those gentlemen know what that means? You know, and it's great that there's an athletic trainer or two or three on that campus, but some of those schools don't. They don't see an athletic trainer be an outreach like myself or a contract athletic trainer or just anybody. So, I don't know. It's interesting. Again, the return to play protocol, you know all that. I just put it in there so it would look nice. Again, you know that. Issue number four, okay, here it is, folks. I walk in the coach's office. All right, when do we start that five-day thing? I said, well, coach, it isn't a five-day thing. It's a five-step protocol. Oh, okay, well, when do we start that? Well, you tell me what paperwork have done already. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. What paperwork, you know, what are we doing? You know, what? Tell me what you know. Well, hell, I know he's got to play Friday. Okay, well, let's start today. All right. But the biggest issue I've seen everywhere I go is a paperwork. I say, Coach, where is the note? What do you have? And you get that. What? All right, the lawyers are happy. What forms are, you know what it is. This is you right here. Those of you guys that are, kids walk in there on a Monday morning and say, here. So what is that? Well, the merch room doctor said I'm clear. these are the forms. I got them here somewhere. There you go. You can see those, right? Good. Okay. Whatever form that you use, whatever form you get, you know, it's got to be your concussion oversight team has met. They've gotten together and decided what they're going to do with the return to play protocol is, right? All of you, let's see, all of you have that team, right? You lie. No, you don't. You don't have one. Yes, you don't. The form on the right, is that a yearly form? Yes. Yes. And that's what I asked the coach, where is the form? What? You need their physical? No. Form. Yeah, got that. It's here. Okay. All right. That's why I got it in, lawyer. So there we are. Who maintains possession of these forms on your campus? Who does that? Yes. Hopefully to get a yes. Yes, yes, yes. Where are they kept? Where do you keep them? In your drawer? On your desk? By your bacon and cheese sandwich? No? You guys want that. I know where you keep them. Who has access to them? Who can see those forms? Anybody? Your assistant? How many of you have an assistant athletic trainer on campus? How many of you share that information? How many? Oh, is he clear? I don't know. Who's responsible for all those forms? See, these are the questions I ask when I visit a campus. And there's a lot of folks out there that really, and I don't mean to trivialize it or minimize it or make fun of anybody, just these are the issues that I see when I'm out there. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm an old fart, I've been around a long time, I've seen a lot of crazy things, and it's just about not the concussion management or protocol, just what people do, how people interpret it, scares me. Summaries, real quick, get us out of here. You understand the law, and it's not open to your personal interpretation. It is not. This is it right here. You can't say, well, I think, or no. And that's what I tell the coaches. When I keep a copy with me, I make copies, I drop it off for them, say, hey, coach, why don't you look over there? Because if you get in court and the lawyer hammers you, you can say, whoa, hang on, that old court brought me one of these, so I know what I'm doing. Hopefully they do. Do you remember why the law was created? Do you follow the requirements? Do you know what to do with a concussed athlete? And I know you do. I apologize if you think that I'm saying that you don't. This audience is perfect. Do maintain all required forms. Do remember that a coach can supervise the return to play protocol, but they cannot authorize a student's return to play. That is in the law. That is in here. I remind the coaches all the time. You can't clear the kid, and again, not talking down to him, just tell him what it is. Do you remember Dr. Odd is available? You knew there was going to be a commercial here. You knew there was. She's a wonderful lady. She can help you. We can help you. We have that ability. We wear the shirts. Don't think that every injury is concussion. Evaluate and decide. You know that. That's a nice thing, but I wouldn't tell you that I really care. Don't feel pressure, discount an injury if you suspect a concussionary athlete deserves the best attention, and you know that. Even the days that your dog is tired, and that kid can be like, yeah, take the time to look at your answer. Don't rush your evaluation, don't lose track of their forms, don't return an athlete before they're ready, and you know that. We all know that. Two best pictures here. We had to work a golf tournament, and I'm waiting on all these drunk people to show up. I'm like, man, come on, let's go, let's go. It's getting ready to rain, I'm tired. Chafed, ready to go home. And that handsome lad on the right there, that was my college. I was walking down to one of my classes, and this guy comes up and says, hey, you want to take your picture? I'm like, sure. So I didn't even know what it was for. It turns out it was for the yearbook. So that's why it says. That's why it says. Folks, it is 9:39. We need to go on a break now. If you want an autograph or anything like that, I've got the lobby. If you have a question, I've got a lobby. Why don't we just go ahead and take a break? Thank you.
Streaming live for 4 hours, and then after lunch will be another 4 hours.
Is it live or is it minutes?
I have no idea which I'm on. But like a whole person joke?
Wait. Okay. So memories is to be taped?
Yeah.
And then, just like the phone?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we used to have those. I'm not that young. Right?
They have landlines at schools, you know.
Well, so, kind of. It's like through the internet.
I want to say thank you to all my moral harmony.
Have you started the recording?
Yeah. Saturday.
So it's not just
the greatest organization on the planet.
Horrible.
They pay me twice a month. I'm so grateful for everything.
You're missing me some pictures.
They got me some shirts. No fit.
I hate you so much.
All right, so you have just heard the best of Mike Barros.
Thank you. Good morning.
All right, so I am Jerry Jackson, and we're going to be talking with Mike Barros, athletic trainer. He's a self-proclaimed old fart. Yes. And yes. So with the age comes lots of knowledge and opinions and a sometimes lack of filter, so just be prepared for that.
Yes.
Again, I have the lovely Leslie Humphreys here to help real Mike Guevara.
We emphasize the word lovely.
Thanks. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, so Mike was talking about knowing the new Senate bill, because here in Texas, the House bill, we have a state-regulated congestion management protocol, and just want to tell us do's and don'ts. Obviously, some of these things as athletic trainers are very, very simple. But before we get to all of that stuff, Mike, tell us a little bit more about who you are, where you came from, that kind of thing.
Well, I'm male. I'm 59 years young. I have a slight pigeon-toed, so my feet kind of hurt every now and then. I love walking in the rain. I love looking at sunsets. I was born and raised in San Antonio. I went to private school. The name of my high school was Holy Cross, so I'm a total loss from Holy Cross. I went to Southwest Texas State. I crammed 4 years of education into 5.5. I had to go an extra year because I had to modify my major. I took the wrong class my sophomore year, so here I am. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. I had a lot of fun being an athletic trainer. I was in San Antonio for 5 years at the start of my career, and then in 1984 I moved here and took a job at Fuller Ridge High School. It was the best thing that ever happened to me moving in this area. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad you people are getting to hear me speak.
So you just accidentally became an athletic trainer?
Yeah, sure did. There was a mean old bitter woman at registration the spring of my sophomore year. Bitter woman, extremely bitter, probably going through menopause, and I would suspect that her husband was probably cheating on her. And rightly so, she was a bitter. I did say bitter. Right?
Yes.
And I said, "Ma'am, I need a 3-hour class on Tuesdays and Thursdays." So she snatches this paper out of my hand. And back then, there were something called computer cards for classes. I know young folk are, you know, tweeting and Twitters and all that. Anyway, so she gives me this class, and I thought, well, the class I was looking for was closed. Well, it turns out it was a care and management of sports injuries, which coaches were supposed to take. And when I show up in the class, it's the sports medicine class. So as I walked into the door, the teacher, Dr. Bobby Patton, says, "Where are you going?" That's how Dr. Patton talks. He talks like this. And I said, "Well, sir, I'm going here." He goes, "No, you're not." So I thought, well, okay. So anyway, long story short, for 4 weeks, I sat in the back of the room. And then at the end of the fourth week, he told me to move up and talked about, you know, athletic training. And so at the end of the course, I walked in his office and said, "Hey, Dr. Patton, how do you become an athletic trainer?" There I am. It's been a wonderful journey.
Thank you, Dr. Patton.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Patton.
Very interesting. All right. So one of the things that jumped out to me in your talk was you said know the law. Make sure you read it and know it. So I've never read the House Bill 82.
Oh, my God. It's House Bill 2038, but yeah, you were close.
Yeah, I got the House Bill part.
You were close.
So yeah. Obviously, I've never read it, mm-hmm. Right? So, as you said, you're an old part. You came drops off paper. Why haven't you dropped off papers at our place?
Well, because Pasadena is supported by Memorial Hermann breakthroughs every day, and advancing breakthroughs every day. Just we'll split the difference. Because there's a colleague of mine that runs in that area, and I really just take care of people in my area. But I love athletic trainers. I did say that earlier. Yes.
You did.
I did tell you that I came in 1984. Yes. Anyway, House Bill 2038 mandates that a certain protocol is taken for concussions. And what I was telling the audience in there, all six of them that were listening, that it doesn't change anything that we do as an athletic trainer. I think it was more geared towards maybe coaches out there that don't have access to an athletic trainer and what they did. And I think it's a good idea, anything being mandated by law, like seatbelts. I mean, I wear my seatbelt because I don't want to go through the front windshield, but it's a law. You got to wear your seatbelt. So I'm like, okay. So now the way that we check for concussions and handle concussion and that sort of thing is now mandated by the state. You know what a great job this Texas Center does. Laws.
So for trainers like you who go around, especially any trainer who has to work, say, a weekend activity, some kind of football camp, things like that, and you send somebody who might have a concussion, what papers or forms do you like, or information do you like to leave with their parents or that person taking care of them?
Well, number one, I always like the parent to be there when you do the evaluation. So you can kind of walk through what you're doing with them and then you can always brush up on what the symptoms to look for post-concussive. Because it's hard to say, well, we're going to hold you out. How you get home? So, well, my mom comes home, or my dad comes with me, or my stepdad, or my mom's lover, or whoever is going to pick you up. And so what happens is you're waiting there, you're looking to see if the kid's symptomatic. But it depends if it's a club sport. I mean, what do they do? What's their protocol? I mean, you're there as a healthcare provider. You're trying to say, look, this is the way it should be done. I suspect they got a concussion. You know, I don't know what kind of authority you have there other than thinking, well, let's keep the lawyers away from them. Let's take the best care that we can of this kid that we suspect is concussed. And a good majority of people will agree with you. You know, they don't want to endanger a child, but you get the occasional, you know, person that says, well, I think you're wrong, or they'll be okay, or that's your call. But if it's a high school kid, you know, we've got protocols. Or it's a UIL, or a charter school, or a private school, TAPS, one of those. I think everybody's on board. Concerns we have are people like club sports. I don't want to single out any sport, soccer. But we do have some problems with people out there maybe not really familiar with what we're trying to do with concussions. Soccer.
So you're a big fan of soccer.
Soccer. Soccer is wonderful. Let me say that again. Soccer is wonderful.
I actually love soccer. It's my favorite high school sport.
Sorry.
Okay, so, you know, Bill and I, we work together in the training room. Obviously, we keep our files in the file cabinet. One of the things you were asking was, you know, we need to know who has access to the files and that kind of thing. So who should be allowed to see the physical forms? Because it used to be kids would get a physical handed to the coach, so obviously the coach had access, they could see it, that kind of thing, and then the coach would give it to us. Now we don't want the coach touching it just because then that makes the coach responsible. Now we want the kids to be responsible to hand it to us. So who should be allowed to look at a physical form?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at any health care provider on campus, obviously the, you know, school nurse, the athletic trainers, you know, the chain of custody of these forms is important because, you know, if you have the right documents, you begin the return to play protocol, and then eventually you release the kid back to athletics. But I don't think it's a question of, you know, put it on the bulletin board, say, okay, this kid was concussed, you know, this is where he is right now. Obviously, you're trying to keep it out of the fewest hands as possible. You know, we do have HIPAA laws that dictate who can see, you know, medical information. And obviously, we're dealing with a kid who's concussed. So they've been to a doctor, so obviously they're in their medical loop. So the athletic trainers are the ones I think should see it. We should be in charge of that. And they're obviously dictating their care because, according to the law, the athletic trainer is part of the concussion oversight team. So there you go. A coach can help you with the return to play protocol, but they cannot clear an athlete. So to answer your question, I think the athletic trainer or the school nurse should have first or second command of the forms. Obviously, there's not an athletic trainer on campus, and there should be a coach who's in charge of injuries. We should have that. It shouldn't be something that sits on a desk and everybody walks through. You know, the Pepsi guy walks by and, hey, look at here. I'm trying to keep things in perspective. So.
Don't worry, she'll be tweeting it out later.
Tweeting.
She'll probably put hashtag grumpy old fart.
Excellent.
Definitely.
And that's a capital G. A G to the
end. At what part of the return to play protocol do you like to include coaches? Do you feel like they should be there right from the beginning?
Well, I like to keep them involved, sure. But I don't mind them doing the return to play protocol because then they can actually see, yes, the kid is progressing. Yes, they feel better. No, they've had a setback, so we got to go back 24 hours and go back to the previous step that we had before. And I think that just makes sense because you're not in a combat situation with the coaches. It's not you versus them. You know, you're not blaming anybody for that youngster getting a concussion. You know, you want that kid to come back. You know, that's what we do. I mean, that's our bread and butter. We get kids well, and let's roll, and let's go win, and that kind of thing. But, you know, if coach walks in and says, well, how are they doing? They're like, well, they're doing better. You know, now we're a subjective term. Whereas you take them into the weight room or the track or wherever those kids are doing their return to play protocol stages, then they can actually say, you're right. He or she is progressing, or no, they're not. So, yeah, I like to keep the coaches in the loop. Definitely. Soccer.
All right, so you talked about House Bill, what would you say, 5 again?
It's 2030.
All right, so again, hopefully we'll go over and read it, you know, over the summer.
Well, I've got a copy for you.
Do you? Good.
And if you'd like one, you can check my blog.
Is that the Texas State Senate blog?
Yes.
Here's that memorial.
That's funny. I just think it was blog, like something was on your shirt. Yeah, you got a blog in your shirt. I'm sorry, never mind. Go ahead, James.
I was just asking you, where do we...
Where do I wear my shirts?
Yeah, where do we...
No. I wear them at work.
Where would somebody else need to live in this house for 23 years?
You can find it, obviously, I found it on the Texas State Athletic Trainer Association website. They right on the lead page there, they have two places for it. They have Natasha's Law or HB 2038. Same thing, but I think people are more familiar when they say Natasha's Law. They're more familiar with it. But I'll just Google it. Those of you that understand what Google means, Google. Yes. Or Bing. I'm sorry, I don't want to look like I'm, you know, showing a preference to anybody. Or Chrome. Is that the same thing?
Chrome is Google.
Chrome.
Bing is Microsoft.
All right, and that commercial brought to you by. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think I'm done with my questions.
Oh, okay. Well, any callers? Caller on line number one? No, yeah. Nobody's there?
No.
Two? Line two?
Jen, you got any questions for? No.
Well, I want to thank you. I really enjoyed my time here. I hope I can be back one day. Not soon and not tomorrow, but.
Think about it.
Yeah, if you have a blog, let me know. It's all good. I want to say hi to my family back in San Antonio. They're probably not listening to this, but I love you guys.
We'll make sure we send this to Holy Cross.
Total awesome Holy Cross. We're the Holy Cross Knights. I like that.
You reckon Holy Cross?
Mm. It was an all-boys school, so part of my problem.
Well, thank you, Mr. Barnes.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me, and I appreciate it. This is a pretty cool thing that you guys are doing, and I hope people appreciate it. And it just goes off into space. You know, I hope in a million years when the Martians pick it up and listen to it, they understand the importance of concussion management, and I'm out.
All right. Thanks.
Oh, no, thank you.